It's the Red Zone on Cards Radio 790 KRD, fueled by Thornton's.
Holy crap, I don't know who the hell we think we are.
My wife can score more than 2 buckets on 11 shots.
The kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
Go play intramurals, brother. Go play intramurals.
They're supposed to be mature adults, but they're really not. Who's the kid here? Who's the kid here? Are you kidding me?
Now here's your host, Nick Coffey.
Good morning and welcome in. Happy Tuesday. You are now in the Red Zone here on 790 KRD. We are fueled by Thorns. Thank you so much for hanging out with us as we take you up till 10 o'clock, 3 hours with you and a lot to get into. My name is Nick Coffey, the marvelous Matt Allen alongside today. And I can't speak for Matt, but I'm feeling great. I'm feeling refreshed. I went to bed last night, and I'm not kidding. I went to bed last night probably about as early as I've gone to bed in a really, really long time that didn't include like a full day of drinking and just passing out essentially. Like when I went to bed last night, put my head on the pillow, it's actually still light outside a little bit. And there was no real rhyme or reason. I was just tired. My kids went to bed early. My wife went to bed early. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to go to bed early too. Why not? I got nothing to do. I'll just sit up and waste time. Why not get a great night's sleep to get the day started? And it worked. I feel like this is going to become like an addicting thing. How quickly can I get in bed every night and get an even longer night's sleep? Like challenge myself each and every day. I guess this is what it's like to be really old. I guess this is why when you get really old, you go to bed at like 8 o'clock. When's the last time you went to bed, Matt, at a really early hour just because? Like you weren't feeling ill. You just said, you know what? I'm going to hit the hay. Because that's what I did last night, and I feel old, but I do feel refreshed.
It's been a long time. If I go to bed early, it's because I don't feel well.
Yeah, same here. Or I, you know, drink too much and pass out, or maybe I didn't sleep well the night before, something like that. But no joke, it was like 9:05 last night. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know what? I'm calling it a night. Look, I get up really early, probably about 4:45 to 5 o'clock every day, sometimes earlier than that, sometimes a little later. But I can usually get to bed at about 11-ish, and I feel like I got enough sleep. Like, that's enough sleep for me. But last night, really, really early, that's what I've become. My life is that interesting to where I just say, you know what? I'm done for the day. I'm going to go to bed. But it felt great. So maybe this becomes the new norm for me. Maybe this is how washed up I will become. So anyways, it's a good thing that I'm well-rested because there's a lot to get into today, and I'm excited. I didn't have really any expectation at all for yesterday's press conference with Kenny Payne as he introduced Nolan Smith as the first assistant coach. There was no associate head coach title thrown out there during the presser or in the press release that came out, which, you know, I guess that's not totally surprising. I will say this. Those that were under the impression that Nolan was going to be the associate head coach were those on the Duke side that thought that's kind of why he was leaving. Maybe that's what they told themselves to make themselves feel better about it, that he would leave an assistant spot at Duke to become an associate head coach. But his title will be an assistant coach, and I really don't think that matters. He clearly was the first priority for Kenny Payne, and Kenny Payne got it done, and Kenny Payne called it a home run yesterday. And again, I had no expectation. Not that I had low expectation. I'm talking no expectation. I didn't have any expectation as far as what we heard from either Nolan or Kenny, other than the obvious, of course, the connection that the two have. And of course, Nolan coming back to coach at a school where his father played, like you knew you were going to get some of that, but I didn't expect to feel the way I felt. Both those guys gave off the word I wanted to use, and I will use, is confidence. But if you really, I can't point to any specific thing that was said, other than maybe one thing Nolan Smith said, but like it was a quiet type confidence. Like Kenny Payne, this was such a different type of presser than what we saw when he was introduced as the head coach for obvious reasons. It's a different thing. This was his first time giving us any kind of an update as the head coach. We already know he has the job. And honestly, Kenny didn't really say a lot yesterday. He wanted it to be about Nolan. They took a few questions for Kenny, and then about 85% of what was heard was Nolan. And in recent years, I've tried my best to not bore you out with press conference audio, because it's actually been a while since we had someone that was rather interesting. And that's not a knock on Scott Satterfield or Chris Mack or anybody else, but, you know, press conferences, for the most part, are kind of boring. You think you may, and sometimes you get a notable update and you feel like it was worth the while as far as listening. And look, I listen to all of them, but I always try to tell myself, look, try to, don't just, you know, figure out what you think would be good for the show. Because again, you can be a diehard Louisville fan. Doesn't mean you're going to spend 30 minutes of your day listening to coaches take questions. But I got 14 clips that I feel are all very much worth you guys hearing. And both Kenny and Nolan gave off a confidence about them. And maybe this is just, you know, me buying in like most fans do. But two things. One, I feel as if Kenny's got a real confidence about landing players, which, again, no surprise. Same thing with Nolan. But also, I had no, again, let's go back to where I started, no expectation. I love the idea of one of our own leading the Louisville program in Kenny Payne. And I've told you guys in recent months, I'm very thankful for the 2 to 3 former players that have reached out to me to kind of educate me on stuff that I had no knowledge of. I was not alive during the 80s run that U of L was on. I used to like to believe that I was informed enough, and maybe I was, but I now have more information. And there's just, I've been thinking about it since I got up this morning. How am I going to word this, right? How do I package this together to where it makes sense, to where I can convey what I mean? And it's, I'm still having a tough time, and that is the overall vibes that you get from this move, where Kenny comes back, brings in Nolan Smith. Nolan Smith, of course, talked a lot yesterday about how so many former Louisville players really became uncles to him, and like, this is truly a family thing. And let me just get the disclaimer out of the way. If this thing falls apart and it doesn't work out, and we get, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road and it didn't work, that'll be a real big bummer. And it will be an even sadder situation than if that was the case and it wasn't somebody that was our own, a former player who, again, brought back a former player's son to help lead this thing. Like, it's going to be harder if it doesn't work out. But, man, if it does, it's going to be even sweeter. And I think we all kind of knew that, right? But now we're seeing it. And we're not seeing results as far as recruits committing or wins on the scoreboard, right? This thing is in the very, very, very early stages. But I guess this is a long-winded way of me saying I underestimated how good it feels and how right it feels to have one of your own trying to get this program back to where we know it belongs. And to hear those two guys that, of course, are right now the only two that have been officially tasked as the guys, you know, to hear that, to hear the confidence from those two, it hits me in the feels in a way that I just didn't expect. So it's awesome. It really is. And we'll let you guys hear plenty of the sound from yesterday. And this is the beginning of it, when Kenny announced Nolan as the first staff member here at U of L on his staff.
Kenny, you've obviously known Nolan for a long time. When did you first notice his potential as a...
And once again, great start for me not playing the right sound. That beautiful voice you hear is Tyler Griever of WHS 11. But yeah, when you got 14 clips, it's easy to mislabel them. I'm sorry.
I want to introduce you guys to the new assistant coach with the Louisville Cardinals, Mr. Nolan Smith. You know, as I talked about in the press conference, the criteria that I was looking for, the whole time I knew it was him. Love of young people, high character, dedicated to the craft, helping kids reach their dreams. All of that is him. And the big plus is that he's a family member. I know that someone's looking down on us today, and Jerry Eads can attest to this, is smiling, and that's his father, who taught me everything that I know. And to have him in this program, as I said earlier, his blood and spirit is back.
It's really hard to explain. It's really hard to explain just the emotions I felt since landing this morning. I've had chills walking through the airport. First thing my wife and I did, we went and saw my dad. Let him know that I'm home. Let them know that I'm home. And when Coach Payne, KP, called me and said, are you ready? We're doing this. I know it was right. I know it was right. So to have this card on my chest means the world to me. It means the world to me. To be a part of this, it's bigger than me. And it's always been bigger than me. This program has always meant the world to me. So to be able to represent this great university, this school, this program, right alongside this guy right here, I'm so excited. So excited to get to work.
So I have no reason to think they weren't being honest, but how about the communication between the two throughout this process being non-existent, essentially? It's almost like Nolan always knew if this was to happen and the job opens up, Kenny would probably want him to be a part of it, and there really was not a lot of communication at all. In fact, Nolan Smith shared the story of he was on his way, I guess it was to the NCAA tournament, one of the games they played leading up to the Final Four, and he was on the bus, I guess the bus from the airport to the hotel or maybe from the hotel to the arena, and he was on his phone listening to Kenny Payne's introductory press conference. And at that point, they still hadn't had any communication, but he just knew. And then the first communication, and I think the only communication before it officially became, you know, where they worked out the, and I'm sure that the contract and all that is not something Kenny and Nolan worked through together, but nonetheless, it was a simple text message from Kenny Payne to Nolan Smith that said, "Are you ready?" And then here we are. So again, a lot of sound we'll share. I'm going to try to mix it up and not, you know, just play clips for the next, you know, 2 hours and 30 minutes or anything like that. But there is a lot I want you guys to hear, including Nolan Smith describing the feeling of what it was like to be out on the recruiting trail wearing U of L on his chest. And he didn't say this to get a reaction. He didn't say this to be funny. In fact, he quickly let people know he was not joking. But how about this guy being introduced and saying he could feel the fear of opposing schools now that he's at Louisville? And we'll see if there's any, you know, if that's true. But, I mean, it wasn't just that he said it. It was how he said it. And you guys will hear it. And it has to get you excited. This is a guy that, of course, is believed to be one of the best young recruiters in basketball. And now he's your lead recruiter right under Kenny Payne, who, of course, is your head coach, a guy that's also known to be one of the best recruiters in the game. Also, Kenny gave us some context as far as the roster. Roosevelt Wheeler, the one name right now that has yet to make a decision. It does sound as if they were expecting him to make a decision over the weekend as far as announcing it. He did not. Not sure if that means he's had a change of heart. But Kenny Payne wants Roosevelt Wheeler on the roster. I think they can move on without him if they have to, but I think it's quite clear Kenny wants Roosevelt Wheeler around. And sounded like he didn't really want anybody to move on. And we'll let you hear it for yourself. You guys can come to your own conclusion, because there are some players that have at least wanted people to think that they weren't wanted here. So I don't know if there's any truth to that, but again, we'll let you guys hear Kenny Payne's side of it. And also, we now have a new transfer to keep an eye on. There's been some names out there in the portal that we've heard about that claim they've heard from Louisville. Now we've got one recruit, one transfer, I should say. I guess he technically is a recruit as well, but one transfer that has trimmed his list, has Louisville in it, and actually has a connection to the city of Louisville. So we'll get into that. I did not talk about this yesterday because I didn't know if it was real or not, but apparently there is some accusations out there that the Alabama Crimson Tide football program, led by none other than Nick Saban, they're tampering. That's right. There's, and I have no clue really where this came from, but it's become a talking point, I believe, that it's worth bringing up on the show, and that is that Louisville receiver Tyler Harrell, who is technically still on the Louisville roster, to my knowledge, has not entered the transfer portal, but it's out there that Alabama essentially is, through, I guess, some kind of back-channel communication, letting this kid know, hey, please enter the portal so we can recruit you. And I have no clue if that's true or not, but like, if it is, one, what does that say about Tyler Harrell in Louisville? That Alabama is just, you know, sniffing out. I mean, but the bigger takeaway is outside of Louisville. It's just that this kind of stuff's probably going to happen now that you have the transfer rule. I mean, hell, last year there were high school coaches that talked to ESPN and said, yeah, all these dudes that I send out of here every year from my high school that go play, I think it was a high school in Texas that said it, that they're getting contacted around the clock from college coaches that don't want to recruit kids on their current roster They want them to let their former players know, hey, you're second, third string at this school. Tell them to put their name in the portal. We'll go take them. They'll play for us. And technically, that is absolutely tampering. But the NCAA does not have the ability and resources to control that. So, like, tampering's going to happen. Coaches are going to cry. But coaches are also going to participate in tampering. But at the end of the day, who really cares? Like, the players having the power is going to make coaches' jobs harder in every aspect when it comes to the transfer portal, when it comes to NIL. But big picture, is it really damaging the sport? I don't think it is. I just think you're going to hear coaches continue to cry about it. And they're all going to be two-faced, by the way, and phony, because coaches behind the scenes will tell you they don't like the portal. They don't like that they've got to maybe baby a player more so than they used to. They don't like the idea these guys are going to be able to make money. It's not that they think they don't deserve anything, but the thought of a player having NIL as a priority potentially over something basketball-related is going to drive certain coaches insane. And in a way, you can kind of understand it. But man, if you are a coach right now and you intend to be anti-NIL, good luck getting good players, right? So it's just fascinating. This is still not only a relatively new thing, it's a very new thing. We haven't even been a full year into the portal being what it is, NIL being what it is, and it's going to change college sports forever. Now, my hope is that it's not something substantial to where, like, the product is damaged. I don't think it will be, but only time will tell. All right, some other things we'll get into today. Mike Pegues, former Louisville interim head coach. There was a report out there over the weekend he was going to be joining Patrick, or last week I should say, that he was going to be joining Patrick Ewing's staff. That is now not happening, and Mike Pegues has found the new home. We'll certainly talk about that. I found it funny yesterday that there appears to be a fake Twitter account that mentioned a meeting between John Calipari and Mitch Barnhart and how everybody seemed to fall for it, and yet it's one of the many examples of, like, just don't get got. Like, don't be so gullible on the internet. This dude, I'm not even sure of his name, is not a real person, so he didn't really have a name. Whatever name he's using is not a real name, whoever's behind the account. But it led to so many people that are credible in regards to, like, reporting on Kentucky athletics that just assumed Mitch Barnhart and John Calipari are meeting today. Interesting. And Calipari, it got so much steam, Calipari had to tweet out that he was actually with Oscar Tshiebwe as he was collecting one of his many National Player of the Year awards, which, it's funny. Cal has been at every one of those, and I guess that's standard. Coaches show up with player, but, like, man, is Cal really trying to overcompensate here? Because, and again, he should be proud of his player who won National Player of the Year, but he should also look in the mirror and realize, damn, how did I not get out of the first round with a guy who was collecting literally every single National Player of the Year award? So we got a lot to get into today. Two UofL women drafted last night in the WNBA draft. We'll tell you where UofL women's basketball ranks in regards to putting players in the WNBA. No surprise, they seem to be doing a really good job at that. So again, a loaded Tuesday for you guys. I hope you'll stick with us. Last but certainly not least, NBA play-in game start tonight, and I've got a parlay for you. How about that? Yesterday, didn't even really know how the play-in tournament worked. Didn't even know who was playing to play into the NBA playoffs. Did a little homework, and I'm ready to wager tonight on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Hopefully you guys will join me. FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook. Use promo code REDZONE if you want to sign up and you haven't already. All right, quickly, before we take a timeout, Matt, today's day two of the loading phase. And you'd think by now I would learn through trial.
Is that why you went to bed early? Because you'd had 5,000 calories and you couldn't eat anymore?
No, that really wasn't a factor. In fact, okay. I probably should have stayed up and ate more. Yesterday I made the mistake that I made the first time around, which was, like, trying to eat 5,000 calories in a day, but starting at, like, 11 a.m. Like, that's...
You got to start now.
Yeah, so I already got one sausage, egg, and cheese croissant down from Thornton's. I have another one here soon. That'll just get me a good base to start with. Like, yeah. I'm already probably 1,000 calories in. And liquid calories count too, so I got this Monster energy drink. And believe it or not, I'm doing all this, folks, because I'm starting a diet. That is right. I'm starting a diet, and the first 2 days of the diet require you to eat 5,000 calories per day. It's called the loading phase. This is from Rev Body Sculpting. I've done it before. It is the ChiroThin diet, and it works wonders. I lost 30 pounds the first time, about 18 pounds the second time, because, again, I didn't have as much weight to lose. I'm not even sure what my goal is this time around, but it's worked twice now. I'm going to do it once again. You guys should check them out. It's awesome. But there's just a – whenever you eat bad and you know you shouldn't and you're like, man, I just really have let myself go the last couple of weeks. I need to get back in the gym. Like that's a different feeling. Whenever it's a chore and you're required to do it, it's not as enjoyable. I mean, again, I could probably do things that are harder. I could find something harder to do than just eat and shove my face with. But 5,000 calories is a lot of calories. And I think last time to hit the mark, I just found myself at the end of the day shoving Oreos down my throat to hit the 5,000
mark. That's a good way.
Oh, yeah.
Oreos are insane.
Yeah.
As far calories.
As the calories and the fats,
they're
and all
insane.
That. Yeah. You know what else was really – this was last time around. Because this will be the third time. First time I learned a lot, and it was, you know, I didn't realize how hard it would be. Second time I had a little bit more, you know, I knew how to get the 5,000 in. But you know what was a real sneaky one? Biscuits and gravy. That was a real good way to get the day started and just know that you've already put a big dent in those 5,000. So I'm curious, can you guys tell me any, like, maybe like a fast food item or just like a common food item that might have more calories than people realize? I'm curious. I'm interested what you guys have in mind because, again, I got to get 5,000 before the end of the day. And, again, it's not as easy as you might think. Like, one time I ordered a pizza, and I ate, like, almost all of it, and I realized, man, I won't be able to breathe for 48 hours, and yet I still haven't even come close to getting the calorie intake that I need. So, again, there's a method to it. You can Google it. Of course, I recommend you going to RevBodySculpting.com because they have all the info. That's what I do. But it's worked. It sounds insane, but this will be my third time doing it. And, again, I've lost a bunch of weight, and I hope to lose more weight. All right, quick timeout. Again, we'll let you hear more from Nolan Smith and Kenny Payne on the other side. And Mike Pegues, I'm happy for the guy. Landing on his feet was always something I knew would happen. But when I saw he was going to Patrick Ewing's staff, I wondered, man, that's something. That's a gig. Georgetown is a Big East program. But, man, Patrick Ewing's days are numbered. Well, now he's found the new home, and I think it's perfect for him. So, again, we'll get to that in a lot more. Stick around right here. You are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thorns here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
Kenny, you've obviously known Nolan for a long time. When did you first notice his potential as a coach? Was it young when he was a player or once he started getting into the coaching ranks?
How about when he was 2 or 3 years old and he was walking around dribbling a basketball and he loved it? How about when he was a high school player, one of the best players in the country, and you see how other players relate to him? How about as a young man, you see him ask questions to other coaches and you see how inquisitive he is? From day one, he's been groomed to be what he's doing right now. A great coach.
That was Kenny Payne yesterday when they made it official. Nolan Smith joining the staff, the first addition to Kenny Payne's staff here at Louisville. Thank you to somebody on the text line who sent in a screenshot of Nolan Smith's Instagram because it does say that he is the associate head coach at Louisville. So the press release didn't say that, so I'll take Nolan's word for it. And that's what everybody had said from the Duke side. Those that were reporting Duke was losing an assistant, they were claiming Nolan was going to coach under Kenny Payne and take an elevated role. I mean, technically he's still an assistant coach, but I assume with that title that is associate head coach, you probably have a little bit of a better deal, an arrangement than just an assistant coach. All right, you are in the Red Zone here on 790 KRD. Nick Coffey, the marvelous Matt Allen alongside. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Take us with you wherever you go with the iHeartRadio app. You can also listen live at 790KRD.com. If you'd like to be a part of the show, text in 502-653-0790. Again, 502-653-0790 is the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. Members get more at LNN Federal Credit Union. At Credit Union, you can. That's a tough thing to say. Credit Union, you can. But that's what I'm supposed to say. Let me start over. You ready? Members get more at LNN Federal Credit Union. You can learn more or open an account today at lnfcu.com. I mean, how about that? How about the way I just bounced back and delivered that flawlessly? And again, 502-653-0790 is the number. This is text that says, you said yesterday you were worried fans are getting expectations up too high. Now you're saying even you have a ton of confidence. Which is it? Here's what I said. If you are someone that over the weekend looked at Duke and saw the five top 25 players that they had in 2023, and you set expectations on Kenny Payne and Nolan Smith taking one or two of those guys, I think you're getting way ahead of yourself. That's not to say these guys won't recruit well. I just don't think that specific scenario is very, very realistic. What I said is that it was nice to, again, by the way, I haven't laid out any kind of expectation for these guys yet. What I said to start the show was that I was able to sense a level of confidence from Kenny and Nolan that I just didn't expect. It's not that I'm now saying, look out, everybody protect your recruits because Kenny Payne and Nolan Smith are going to come steal everybody. But it's just nice to see that these guys seem to, and look, it's not a surprise that they have confidence in what they're supposed to do, which is bring in players, because again, that's why they're here. Kenny Payne has been waiting for an opportunity like this. He's clearly confident in his ability to get players and lead this program. Same thing with Nolan Smith. It's going to be different doing it at Louisville than it was at Duke, but he seems to think that they're going to be able to bring in plenty of talent. That's not a word-for-word thing he said, but listen to this. I mean, this isn't just one of those clips I want to share with you because of what was said. I want to share it with you because of how it was said.
You mentioned how much it means to have that Cardinal bird on your chest. What was it like out working this weekend, you know, and talking to people on behalf of Louisville?
You know, I felt a lot of fear of opposing schools. And I'm serious, and it felt great. It felt great. A lot of people, like Coach Payne said, like just saying – congratulations, man, we're happy for you, and you and KP are going to kill it. But then just walking past kids, and you hear him go, that's Louisville.
Hearing that did a lot for me. One, it was a surprise, but also has to make you feel good as a Louisville fan. Another question is, how long has it been since Louisville had that on the recruiting trail? I'm serious. Like, I really don't know. Rick got a really raw deal from our fan base when it came to recruiting because he wasn't recruiting like John Calipari, but he still recruited really well. And as we discussed yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour, and if you're wondering how we got there, I thought John Shire landing five top 25 players in 2023 was like something that had never been done before. And then I thought to myself, if there was someone that might have done that before, it's probably a man by the name of John Calipari. But I didn't really know, because I know he's had some good classes, but how many has he had that were similar to what John Shire's doing? Well, you go back and look at it. From 2009 till about 2017, 18 even, Calipari did that routinely. So it's just a reminder that nobody recruited like Cal. Rick Pitino did well, but, you know, no, Cal was on a heater on recruiting that may never be done again. It'll take John Shire doing this, you know, for the next 5-6 years to match what Cal did when he first took over in Lexington. And yes, I know what you're all saying. He only has one title to show for that unbelievable run that we may never see again in recruiting. Now, back to the question about when's the last time Louisville had that on the recruiting trail, whenever U of L was in the gym, kids knew it meant something. And Rick had it. You know, I used to cover recruiting much more extensively than I do now, and I don't really cover it now. What I mean is I used to write about it. I used to go to events. I was never somebody as connected as one like Jody Demling or anything like that. But years ago, you know, you would talk to recruits before they got here. At least I would. And they would say if Rick Pitino was in a gym, you knew. They would also, you know, there's other coaches that had that same kind of presence about them. But obviously Chris Mack didn't have that. And I wonder towards the end of Rick Pitino, keep in mind he's still recruiting, but they've got the Katina Powell scandal going on while he's recruiting. I don't know, maybe that impacted the presence that he carried with him. I really don't know. But if Nolan Smith is accurate in saying he could feel the fear and that even players knew, man, that's Louisville, that's Nolan Smith who's now recruiting for this pro. I mean, that means something. Nobody will ever tell you recruiting is not super important, but it does feel as if this fan base has kind of been checked out on recruiting recently, and it's not because we wanted to be. It's because we just haven't been swimming in the same waters that we used to swim in, and clearly that's going to be changing moving forward. This is one of my favorites. I don't think Kenny was trying to be funny. I think he was just being very honest yesterday when asked about him being back out there on the recruiting trail, and made a very obvious observation that a little different when you're watching night in and night out as a staffer for the New York Knicks, watching the best players in the world, and then you're watching, you know, high school kids.
Kenny, both of you guys were out this weekend evaluating some of the top talent in the country. Kenny, it's been a couple of years for you since you've been doing it. What was it like to be back out, especially wearing the Cardinal on your chest?
Both good and bad. When you're in the gym and you got the Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and LeBron James on the court, then you go and watch a high school kid, there's a difference. But it was good. It was good to see all the coaches and to see the kids show respect and the coaches of AAU programs that know what you've done in this game and to congratulate Nolan. And a lot of coaches talked about the hire and how good they think we'll be. So it was gratifying.
What do you think about the press conference laughter, Matt? The PCL, pretty strong early for Kenny.
Well, it's new coaches always get better PCL.
I think.
New coaches and coaches that are just destroying the competition. Like, if they're really winning a lot, then they're going to get some good PCL.
Did that sound real, my laugh?
That
was me there yesterday.
Yeah, I thought you were actually laughing at something like you were watching on TikTok there. And that sounded super genuine to me.
Yep. It is true, though. As much as these guys that he's watching on the weekend are believed to be the next NBA stars, at least some of them, it would be a pretty big difference to night in and night out be on the sidelines whenever you're playing the likes of LeBron James, Kevin Durant, best players in the world, and then you're watching 16-year-olds. I imagine it would be – even if they are believed to be great prospects, it is a big difference there. All right, quick timeout. What we'll do on the other side, I'm now ready to tell you, there's all kinds of names in the portal. And there's two names I want to talk about on the other side. One has included Louisville in his final six, and I hope they get him. Really, really do. And then there's another name that just hit the portal that I don't even know if we know which schools have reached out, but I really think this guy, if Louisville does pursue him and they could potentially get him, it changes how you look at next season. So we'll do that. And, of course, we will talk more about this Tyler Harrell situation, Louisville receiver who – still on the roster, not entered the portal, just wrapped up the spring, had a good spring for U of L, but there's belief that he may enter the portal soon because he's now aware that a school that is a pretty big-time school, Alabama, may be interested in him. And it's just, I have no clue if any of this happens or what. I have no clue what happens. But if it does, to where this guy does go to the portal and he ends up at Alabama, I think clearly there will be a strong belief that tampering was going on. And, I don't know if there's anything you can do about it. This just may be the way college athletics operates now. All right, don't go anywhere again. You are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thornton's right here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD, fueled by Thornton's. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
right, so I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm currently doing the loading phase of a diet called the Chirothin diet, where I've got to eat 5,000 calories in the first 2 days before I go on a really strict diet. And this is the third time around I've done it with Rev Body Sculpting, and it's worked, and I can't wait to shed off some weight here before the summer gets here. But 5,000 calories in a day is harder to do than most realize. So I asked for some recommendations on what could get me there. Matt mentioned, well, I'd mentioned Oreos, and that's a way to if I'm at the finish line and I'm just short, that's where I'm going to have to get it. But this is a good recommendation. It says the chicken finger meal from Zaxby's. Check this out, Matt. 1,290 calories in the chicken finger meal at Zaxby's. That's insanity, right?
Okay.
That's a lot.
1,290?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big dent. It's just for lunch.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's about what a McDonald's combo is going to give you.
Is it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that. How about this? The Outback Steakhouse Aussie Cheese Fries. Large, 1,800 calories.
That's a good dent.
Yeah, that's a recommendation from my former basketball coach, Coach Till. Shout out, Coach Till. Thank you for telling me what food to shove into my body that will get me to 5,000 calories in a day. Some have mentioned Krispy Kreme donuts. Those probably will do the trick, but I would fill up too quickly on that. That's why even when I'm not like trying to eat 5,000 calories in a day, I can't usually do more than one donut at a time because they just fill me up. So, again, There's a reason behind this. It's not because I've just completely lost. I mean, in fact, it's the opposite. It's that I'm trying to get healthier and lose weight, but because of the strict diet that you're on for about 6 weeks, you load up like this where you 10,000 calories in 48 hours. And it sounds insane, but having done it twice, I can tell you there's a reason and it works. All right, so there's not as much time here as I wanted to have as far – and we got plenty of time to talk more about the potential additions to this roster in Kenny Payne's first year. But the name that I want to talk about right now is a name, Sean McNeil, a Kentucky kid who is transferring from West Virginia. And I love his story. This is a young man who played in Northern Kentucky at Cooper High School and was a good player. Helped, I think he led Cooper all the way to the state championship game and didn't have a ton of interest coming out of high school from high-level schools. But He committed to Bellarmine, and this is before Bellarmine was going to be a D1 school. But he committed to Scott Davenport at Bellarmine, showed up at Bellarmine as a freshman, and did what a lot of kids do, and it's understandable. Some people did it and claim it was a huge mistake, but it happens, and they showed up to college, and they freak out. They're worried. Oh, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to cut this academically. Oh, being a student athlete, that's really demanding. I'm not sure if I'm ready to do that yet. So he showed up for about a week and left and went back home to Northern Kentucky where he's from. And I think it just kind of started doing absolutely nothing, to my understanding. And I don't really know what led to him getting back into basketball. But after, you know, quitting college after a week and, you know, sitting at home doing nothing, he ended up getting an opportunity to join a junior college up in Dayton, Ohio. It is Sinclair Community College. And he went on to be a JUCO All-American, averaged about 30 points per game. And I'll tell you this, St. Clair, as a former bench rider for junior college basketball program at St. Catherine College, St. Clair is not a big time. I mean, I think it's like Division III JUCO. In fact, they don't even have a team anymore. They ended, this tells you the athletic department at this school, they've ended all athletics at St. Clair Community College because of COVID. They never brought them back. So he goes to a low-level JUCO, blows up, and starts to get recruited. And then, sure enough, towards the end of his – like, and I remember it vividly because it's a kid from Kentucky that didn't have a whole lot of offers coming out of high school. Then he goes to JUCO, and then right at the end of his last year at St. Clair, it might have been Bob Huggins. Bob Huggins came out and watched him. And, again, you're talking about a lot of JUCO players that he's playing with are not going to Division I schools. They're going to – NAIA schools or maybe D2. And I don't say that to throw shade. That's just it's a lower level JUCO. Well, Bob Huggins sees him and says this kid can play, gets an offer, and then other coaches come and watch him. And he ended up having a pretty impressive list of offers coming out of JUCO. He chose West Virginia, had a great run there. Ended up, he was honor Big 12 all honorable mention. Excuse me, all Big 12 honorable mention in the last two seasons. He played 30. He started 32 games and led the team in minutes, 6'3 guard, a really good shooter. I think he shot it at about 37%, so that's not like an elite percentage. And look, I know last year we sold you on guys that were coming here. They have been able to shoot it elsewhere. Let's hope that was a fluke, because I've seen Sean McNeil play many times, and he can absolutely fill it up. So he is now down to six schools, Louisville being one of them, along with Indiana, Virginia, Texas Tech, Cincinnati, and Ohio State. So I have no clue which way this kid's leaning, but I like his story. Also, I like his game. He's a guy who he knows his role as a player. He's out there to be a heady guard that is not going to hurt you, not a huge liability defensively. And, oh, by the way, if he gets hot, he can absolutely fill it up. So you need a guy like that. All the guys that you thought were like that last year ended up not being that, and they've all moved on. So I don't know where they are with him, but clearly they're in the top six, and I hope he ends up deciding to come play here at U of L. This school needs guards, and they'll need more than just him. But I've watched West Virginia enough, because Bob Huggins is really good at covering, and I bet on them a lot. Even when they're underdogs and they lose, they usually cover. So I've watched this kid play, and I'd love to see him here at U of L. Here's to hoping that they can land him. Because there's no doubt right now, when filling this roster moving forward, they need guards. All right, we'll get to a quick timeout. We got two more hours to go. There's another kid that entered the portal yesterday that it's way too early to know who's reached out just yet. But, man, I hope it's Louisville, because this is the kind of guy that whoever gets him, he could change. He could really change sort of how you look at your season next year. He's that good. So we'll get to that a lot more. So don't go anywhere. If you want to text and go for it, 502-653-0790 is the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. You are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thornton's here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD, fueled by Thornton's.
That's right. You are in the Red Zone here on 790 KRD. Hour number two. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Take us with you wherever you go. Listen live on the iHeartRadio app. You can listen live at 790KRD.com. And wherever you go, stop in at a Thornton's. I know some of you listen where maybe there's not a Thornton's, but if you're in Kentuckiana, there's nearly 50 locations. So I would imagine if you're in the region, there may be one close to you. Stop in today and get yourself some breakfast. I had one already, one of the the sausage, egg, and cheese croissant breakfast sandwiches. So good. I'm going to have another here soon, and it's because, you know, I don't usually have a breakfast like that. But I got to eat 5,000 calories today, and I haven't even checked what the calorie intake is on two of those. But hopefully I've put a big dent in the 5,000. And thank you to everyone that is recommending all these extremely fatty, terrible food items, because it's like this. I look at this as like the sign-on bonus for a diet, right? Because I'm about to go through a 6-week period where I can eat very, very, very little, and it's usually not great food. Now, you can get creative and have fun with it and actually find stuff that tastes good, and you get used to it. And now that I've done this a few times before and I know the process, it's going to be hopefully easier than the first two times. But it's, I guess, a treat before you start to really make yourself suffer. And it works. It makes it easy. Like, because of the amount of food that's fatty and just, you know, all the bad stuff that I'm going to shove in my body for the next couple of days, when you're going through the onboarding process of the stricter diet, it's not as difficult, because you're still essentially kind of living off of what you did for a 48-hour period. So anyways, stop in and get yourself some breakfast. I actually took a picture. Matt, I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to send it to you in a DM. Have you seen what the French toast breakfast burger looks like? It is a monster of a sandwich. I mean, I think you could expect
from where?
From Thornton's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think I saw it on the window.
It is humongous. Let me send you this picture I took this morning. The lady that worked at the one in Preston, she was weirded out that I was taking pictures of the breakfast items. But I said, look, man, I got to take a picture of that. It's a monster of a sandwich. So I probably should have just had that, but I'm not a huge French toast fan. Anyways, yesterday, Kenny Payne officially introduced Nolan Smith as the first staff member, and he's not going to rush the rest of this staff. I think we've all kind of hit the point now where we know Milt Wagner's going to be involved in some way, and it sounds like he's going to be an assistant coach. The third assistant coach, I really don't know who it's going to be. There's names that have been floated out there, but the names that got mentioned quite a bit over the last few weeks have all essentially decided to stay where they are because they got raises. Now, some would say, well, how could Kenny not go get these guys? Well, I think these guys in their current roles were able to get better deals because head coaches realize, hey, you know, Kenny felt like he knew he was going to be. Kenny felt like he knew who to go get as far as what he wants, and he talked about what he wants. He wants a coach that can relate to young people, that is all about building up young people. And I think that's one way of saying I want to be a player's coach and I want to be able to bring in guys who can help recruit. So he had in mind who he wanted to go after, but wisely, those guys, their bosses, decided to do whatever it took to keep them because that's how important they are. So, but right out of the gate here, he's hit a home run with Nolan Smith, and it's not just because of the resume of Nolan. Former player, played on a national championship team, was one of the best players in America coming out of high school. Had a brief stint in the NBA and has now been at Duke for the last few years as they've been dominating the recruiting trail. And really nice to hear Nolan have this kind of confidence right out of the gate in day one. And well, day one yesterday as far as being introduced, but this is what he had to say when it comes to wearing the U of L logo at the first recruiting event this past weekend.
You mentioned how much it means to have that Cardinal bird on your chest. What was it like out working this weekend, you know, and talking to people on behalf of Louisville?
You know, I felt a lot of fear of opposing schools. I'm serious, and it felt great. It felt great. A lot of people, like Coach Payne said, like just saying congratulations, man, we're happy for you, and you and KP are going to kill it. But then just walking past kids, and you hear them go, that's Louisville.
So they haven't landed a single commitment just yet, but I really got to sense a level of confidence from Kenny and Nolan yesterday that I shouldn't say surprises me, but it was just nice to see that. I don't think that they feel like they're going to have a tough time landing the caliber players they want to get Louisville basketball back to where we want it to be. Now, I got a total of 14 clips here. I'm not sure if I'm going to play all of them. But quickly, I do want to talk about Jerry Eves. So Jerry Eves yesterday he's considered Nolan Smith as sort of a nephew. And he's one of many former Louisville players that have that family-type relationship with Nolan. I mean, Nolan talked about it. We'll let you guys hear it. But when his father passed away, he already had sort of uncle-like figures in his life that were former teammates and close friends of his father, Derek. But when his father passed away, it became that, but on a different level, right? These guys took Nolan under their wing, and Kenny's one of them. Jerry's one of them. And Jerry Eves is one of those guys that in recent years, some fans have understandably wondered just how much Jerry, you know, here I am doing gymnastics with the way I want to word this, because I think it's insane to insinuate that Jerry doesn't care about U of L. But clearly, he's one of the former players that wanted so badly for this to happen. One of their own to come back and lead the program, somebody that has high integrity, and someone, you know, that, and again, this not to go back in time here, but this is just to, one thing I never really considered is that these former players were already kind of ignored. They were by Rick Pitino. There's just, and Tom Jurich, there's no way around that. They were not treated great. A lot of them were ignored, and they weren't honored in a way that they should be. I don't think those guys were being divas. I think they genuinely were not treated the way they should have been treated. So you have that going on, and yet they are. That era, that run in the late 70s and the 80s, that is what made Louisville basketball what it is today. So when you have Rick Pitino here doing a good job in coaching but not really respecting those guys the way they're deserved, and then you have the scandals that go on with the Porcini's incident, with the Minardi Hall stuff, with the Brian Bowen stuff, and I never really truly tried to put myself in their shoes as to how damaging that was. So I'm sure, look, you got to win, there's no doubt about it, but I don't think I really could sense how monumental this was for guys like Jerry Eves, former players, to see Derek Smith's son come back and Kenny Payne come back. Like, it's just got to be an emotional time for them, and Jerry was shining yesterday. Here is, and we're just going to have to get used to this. Jerry, of course, is now technically, I guess, a member of the media. He has a radio show that you guys can hear on 1080 in this building. And, you know, he also has a close relationship with Kenny. So when he goes to press conferences, there's going to be a different relationship between Kenny and Jerry than there is, you know, than me and Jerry or Tim Sullivan and, or me and Kenny Payne or Tim Sullivan and Kenny Payne. But here is Kenny Payne as he exits. This may be like his. This may just be the norm when Kenny Payne exits press conferences these days.
All right, guys. Jerry, is you good?
Kenny Payne, great hire, young man. That's all I got to say. I'm good as I can be.
As long as I can make him proud, I'm good.
And this is not something you'll probably hear very often at press conferences or anything like that. But I know it probably meant a lot for Jerry to be able to be there and say this.
Nolan, welcome to Louisville. I just want to let everyone know I'm so proud of you, what you've turned into, the man that you've become. And a lot of these people did not know your dad, but what your dad stood for, ultimate integrity, people first. I'm just glad that you're here, love you, and hope you and your family just relish in the Louisville area like I have for so many years.
I've been blessed to have a lot of uncles. When my dad passed away, you have one of them sitting right here, Uncle Jerry Eves. And so KP's been that for me since my dad passed away, even while he was alive, but especially when my dad passed away, I had a lot of people come into my lives, and Kenny Payne was one of those people that came into my lives that coached me in life, coached me in helping become a man, coached me in basketball as a player, and then even now as a coach, somebody I can always call and to be a mentor. We were just talking to one of them, Uncle William Wesley, Uncle Wes. I know he's probably watching right now. He said, make sure I shout him out, but I know he's a very happy man and proud man right now as well. But he's meant everything to me. So again, to be here with him now as we start this journey, that means a lot.
So I don't want to get too sappy, but I just want to acknowledge that kind of stuff, like the personal connection that we now kind of have somebody from the family, and he's bringing more family back to the fold here to get it back on track. I didn't realize till it happened that it is different. It does mean more. Now, again, it'll make it even more difficult if things don't work out, but I don't even really want to get into that yet because it's still we're still in the honeymoon phase for sure, and I'm going to enjoy that as much as we can. But I underestimated the feeling of the process here with it being people that just are a part of the DNA that has made Louisville basketball what it is today. Here's one more story from Nolan and about his father, and as he went to see his father yesterday once he got in town.
Cool story is, didn't know it happened this quick, but somebody drove past and stopped their car. And every time I've come home to play here, I always have somebody stop by and say, hey, welcome home, good luck tonight, even though I'm a card. But man stopped by and he got out of the car and he told us a story about how my dad coached him at Louisville basketball camp. And he said he yelled at him and then did the drill a couple more times and the kid did it right. Or he wasn't a kid, he was a kid back then. But he did it right and then he uplifted him. And he said that story, that moment stuck with me for all these years. And I say all that to say, I love hearing those stories. And to be home and just be amongst that, be amongst family and friends, people who knew my dad, that was really made this day so special, is that story right there.
Now, I don't want to encourage people to bombard Nolan Smith and his family. If you guys see them around town, you know, I'm sure they wouldn't mind if you said hello, but you know, don't harass him or anything like that. Not that people would, but I would imagine, given his situation with his father passing away at such a young age, with him now being back in Louisville with so many people that probably do have a Derek Smith story, I'm sure he is all ears. I can't imagine. I mean, I imagine he would sit and listen to people talk about his father until they couldn't anymore. So really an emotional day for him, probably more than anybody. And it makes total sense, but I hadn't really given it much thought. But he did say on his way out of Duke that when talking about Louisville is that Duke obviously was a good choice for him for a variety of reasons. It's Duke. He went on to play for Coach Mike Krzyzewski. He won a national championship. But he wasn't ready emotionally for what would come with playing basketball at UofL after his father passed away. And that's just – I'd never given it thought, but it makes total sense. So I really do hope that this works out and Louisville basketball gets back to where we want to be, because there's no doubt the the connection here between these two guys, Kenny Payne and Nolan Smith. Look, it could be Matt Allen that was the head coach. And if he wins at a high level, hell yeah, we're going to be happy. We're going to be back where we want to be. But somebody doing it that is connected and is part of the family like Nolan and Kenny are, it's going to be more special. It just is. Now, quickly, World Wide West, what are we doing with that? Like, World Wide West, is he part of the family now? Like, so many Louisville fans for years took shots at World Wide West and claimed that's why Calipari was able to get the recruits that he was getting, and World Wide West was like an enemy, which people don't realize. World Wide West, his connections to Denny back in the day helped Louisville back with the Camden connection. So, like, he's been back and forth. He's one of those guys that nobody really knows what he does, but he's very influential. He has relationships with some of the most prominent people in the world, including like Jay-Z and Beyonce and Michael Jordan. I mean, he's an interesting character, and he is a family member, essentially, of Kenny Payne, a family member, essentially, of Nolan Smith. And there's got to be some value that comes with that. But like, do we welcome him to games? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what we do with this. I really don't. But there have been plenty of people that cover college basketball, even a couple that have reached out to me directly that said, like, hey, World Wide West is letting it be known he's a Louisville guy now. And I don't know, one, what we get from that, and two, how do we really, like, embrace this? But, hey, if he's helping this process get turned around, I'm all in. Count me in as a William Wesley fan. All right, quickly, a couple of roster things here. The only guy we're waiting on a decision from is Roosevelt Wheeler. And Roosevelt Wheeler, from what I understand, was believed to be back and was believed to be announcing that he was coming back over the weekend, but he didn't do it. Maybe he's got some cold feet. Maybe he just wants to give it some more thought. And to be fair, this is a decision that I think is one that you need to make sure you get right. This is a big decision for everybody as far as what they want to do. But it shouldn't really come as a surprise to hear that Kenny Payne wants Roosevelt Wheeler to come back and finish his career here at Louisville.
I hope he stays. We've had great conversations. He understands where I'm coming from. I understand where he's coming from. The ball's in his court.
So, again, I don't want to mislead people as if him not announcing something over the weekend means something has changed. But I was just told that they expected him to be. It was Jalen Friday, JJ Saturday, Roosevelt Sunday, and Roosevelt didn't announce. But I hope they can keep him around. Now, again, Louisville will be okay without him, but I like his upside. He's now healthy. Kenny Payne, if he can get him to put in the work, I think Roosevelt Wheeler could turn into a really good player. Now, there's a couple of players that have, I don't want to say they've come out and, because they talk, you know, but some of the players that have entered the portal have made it seem as if they weren't wanted. And I don't know if that's true or not. I think we'll learn this throughout these first few months. Kenny Payne's going to be pretty transparent. Like, there's not going to be any hidden messages. I think the way he approached these returning players was this. You got to want to be here. Like, you need to be 2 feet in. Let's get to work. Let's do this. But he wasn't going to beg anybody to stay. Anybody. And maybe that's sort of maybe that's the riff here, is that these guys thought they were going to be begged to stay, and they weren't. And that's why they have at least made it appear as if they're not wanted. Because, you know, Kenny said here he wanted them all to stay.
I wanted all of them to probably stay, but they made decisions that was best for them. I'm not holding anybody back. I'm not forcing anybody to stay. I want them to be here 2 feet in. Fight for what you want. Let's get it together. If not, I wish you the best. Use me as an asset. It's really that simple.
I hope that becomes one of his taglines. It's really that simple, because I think we're not going to get press conferences with Kenny Payne holding court with the media for 45 minutes to an hour where he's just, you know, yucking it up like other coaches have. He's just going to tell you what it is. And I think that's sort of how this played out. You want to be here, let's get to work. But I'm not going to baby you. I'm not going to beg you to be here. And I think some of the – and look, let's be real. Some of the guys that have moved on, it's best for everybody. And but with Roosevelt Wheeler's case, I really do think he has a ton of upside, especially if he can stay healthy. All right, 502-653-0790 is the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. We'd love to hear from you. Quickly, this is a good question that came in. It says, can you explain the Oscar Tshiebwe NIL situation? How is he not allowed to earn NIL money, but others are? All right, so I don't have all the details or facts on this, but from what I understand, Oscar Tshiebwe is here in America on a student visa. And for some reason, his student visa restricts his ability to work. But yet there's been like a loophole where he could make money through Cameo. And I believe there was a temporary fix in place where Oscar could make money from NIL like everybody else. But again, I think that was a quick temporary thing. So the way I understand it is this is Oscar's situation from what I understand it. He wants to come back to Kentucky because he could, in fact, make a ton of money, maybe more money than he would make on an entry-level NBA contract. That is not an exaggeration. He's the reigning National Player of the Year. He'd be the preseason National Player of the Year if he comes back. He is a phenomenal player, has a phenomenal story. I don't want to like him, but I like him. He's earned every bit of recognition that he's gotten and every award that he's got. But he's in a really odd situation because if the NIL stuff is not worked out, why would he come back? He can go to the NBA and make not only money from being in the NBA, but he would have, I guess, a different visa. He would be an employee here. He would work. It wouldn't be a student visa. So he could make all the money he wanted through NBA. Well, I guess not all the money he wanted. He'd, again, probably be on a entry-level NBA contract, which, by the way, is not exactly chump change. And I guess he could make NIL money in the NBA through endorsements and that kind of stuff. But clearly, there's a lot of value in being the returning National Player of the Year at a place like Kentucky. But because they haven't really, and I'm not, you know, I don't, I guess maybe it's asking too much for them to really bend over backwards to make a change for him specifically. But let's be real, it's dumb. He should be able, if other students are able to get jobs, he should be able to as well. So it's not fair that he can't make money on NIL because he's on a student visa. But nonetheless, if they don't get it worked out and he's here like taking out NIL deals to come back and then whoever's in charge of getting that straightened out, they don't do their part, like he could get deported. So it's really an odd situation for him that I'm surprised is not getting more national attention. I mean, I hope he doesn't come back because I don't want him to return to Kentucky because, you know, he's a hell of a player. But it is silly that I mean, I don't know who to blame. I don't think it's anybody's fault, but it's just whoever's in charge of these stupid student visa rules, I suppose, is who is to blame. Now, again, I don't want him to come back because he's too good, but I could certainly see. I mean, he would be, in my opinion, a real early case study about, yeah, you know what? If you play for a school like Kentucky and you play basketball and you're that good, you can put off your pro career because you can make more money potentially in college because of NIL. All right, quick timeout. We'll finally get to this Tyler Harrell situation. I feel like I've already done you guys a disservice by teasing this thing for an hour and a half. I really don't have anything to add that hasn't probably already been said, but it's just a new world here in college football where tampering is going to happen because the portal is what it is. And U of L, there's rumors out there they could lose one of their top receivers simply because Bama wants him to know he might be wanted by them. So we'll get to that in a lot more. Back to the text line as well. 502-653-0790 is the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. You are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thorntons. I'm Nick Coffey. He's Matt Allen right here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
So I started the show today mentioning how I had a great night of sleep last night. I usually sleep pretty well, but I went to bed last night and I looked out the window and it was still somewhat light outside, which tells you how early it was. But it is, of course, staying daylight longer than it was for the previous, you know, 6 months or so. But nonetheless, one of the reasons why I got such a great night's sleep is because my home was cool at a very, very comfortable temperature for me of 67 degrees. Yes, we put the AC on, and it was awesome. And just to know that I can trust the system in my home to keep me comfortable is a great feeling. And I always say this, you don't really learn to appreciate and value temperature control until you don't have it. And I've been there in the summer months with a broken air conditioning in my home, and it was 95 degrees outside, and it sucks. But you know what? I turn to the folks at DFH, and they get me taken care of. Now, I don't stress about it because I know not only, well, if I do have an issue, I don't stress because they're going to come out, they're going to take care of me, they're going to be honest with me. They're not going to tell me, oh, Nick, you need to replace your entire system. Because if it's not the case, if that is what I've got to do, that's what I've got to do. But if it's just a part, it's just a spring cleaning that's needed, they're going to be honest, and you cannot put a price tag on that. That is invaluable. They will be honest and trustworthy. And think about this. The DFH company is not around for decades like it has been and is today without taking care of customers for that amount of time. So again, trust who I trust. It's the DFH company, 502-968-6222. Tell them I sent you. And if you do, in fact, need to get yourself a new system, there's no better time to do it than right now before these hot summer months get here. And you can currently get an 18-month special financing deal on a qualifying Trane HVAC system. It is hard to stop a Trane. Again, 18-month special financing and a 10-year parts and labor warranty. You should not pass up on this opportunity. Again, nobody likes to make this kind of big expense, but when you get 18-month special financing and you're getting a high-quality product like a Trane system, take advantage. So again, go to dfhcompany.com. You can get complete program eligibility dates, details, and restrictions. It is subject to credit approval. But again, get more info at dfh.com, dfhcompany, or dfhcompany.com is the website, and the number is 502-968-6222. All right, so Mike Pegues, change of plans for him. It was reported late last week that he was going to be on his way to D.C. to join Patrick Ewing's staff at Georgetown. However, again, change of plans. He is now going to be joining Thad Matta's staff as an assistant coach at Butler. And I think this is a much better move for Pegues because this, of course, is a new staff. Thad Matta likely going to get Butler back to winning, and this could lead to Mike Pegues being maybe a top assistant for Thad Matta and then potentially earning himself an opportunity to become a head coach somewhere. He was a finalist for the job of George Washington, but he did not get it. And look, as long as he lands on his feet, I'll be happy for him. But the thought of him going to Georgetown to coach with Patrick Ewing just seemed like a temporary thing at best, because Patrick Ewing probably should have been fired this past year. They didn't win a game in the Big East this past year. So Thad Matta currently in a much better situation than Patrick Ewing. And I wish nothing but the best for Mike Pegues, Cahill Fennell, Taylor Barnett, Kristen Cunningham, Andrew Lentz, all those guys that were on the staff, Matt Stebbins, all those guys who were staffers for Chris Mack. I hate that it played out the way that it did, but those guys are good people. And I'm sure they'll all land on their feet. And again, I wish them nothing but the best. All right, so last night in the WNBA draft, no surprise, Jeff Walls, of course, has turned this program into one of the best in the sport. Therefore, on draft night in the WNBA, there is some Louisville Cardinal presence.
I think defense is about passion, you know, and I think I bring that a lot in my game. And, you know, you're good at things you love to do, and I love to play defense, so I'm excited.
That was Emily Inksler, who, of course, was the first of two Louisville Cardinals drafted last night. She ended up becoming the fourth overall pick, going to the Indy Fever. And she had a phenomenal season here at U of L and had a great career at Syracuse before finishing here at Louisville. But I did not realize just how, I mean, obviously she's known for her defense, as you heard her talk about right there, but she, in five games in the NCAA tournament, she tied the NCAA record for steals in an NCAA tournament. So wish nothing but the best for her. I'm sure she'll have a long pro career. And then also in the second round, the 16th overall pick was Kiana Smith, who goes to the Los Angeles Sparks. And I'm sure we'll be doing this once again next year and the year after. There's a lot of future pros on this roster for Jeff Wall. So, again, congrats to Kiana. Congrats to Emily. Hearing your name called in a draft is something kids dream about, and very few people get to realize that dream, and they did. So, again, congratulations to them. All right, so let's switch gears here. Louisville football just wrapped up the spring, and really there's not a whole lot of buzz about what we learned about this team in spring, and that's not to say that that's like a negative thing. It's just, it's spring ball. I don't think, you know, you didn't get anybody hurt during spring, which is good. And that's a win in my book. But one of the players that it sounds like really made progress from this past season to the spring is receiver Tyler Harrell, who really didn't play much. I mean, he had two catches in 2018 and did not play in 2019 or 2020. And then sure enough, this past year, he had 18 catches, caught 6 touchdowns, 523 yards. He's 18 catches throughout an entire season is not a whole lot, but he's a deep threat. He's a guy that's got unbelievable speed, Olympic track type speed, that if he gets open, he's gone. We saw it many times. I mean, hell, 6 of his 18 catches ended up with him breaking away and making a mad dash for the end zone. And again, I didn't watch much in the spring, but it sounds like he's content, because he's always had elite speed. And the knock on him going into this past season was, can he learn how to be a receiver? And I think he made strides in that this past year. Still had some drops and was far from a finished product. Again, his numbers aren't crazy, but he's got speed that you just can't teach. I mean, keep in mind, Scott Satterfield has coached guys like T.Y. Hilton. He's coached Tutu Atwell. And this guy has clocked a faster 40. And we saw it in games last year. The way he created separation after catching a pass was almost something like a video game created player. Like, it's unbelievable. And it sounds like he did really well in the spring. Well, apparently there's been some buzz about that, and that has led to a rumor. And this is what this is. It's a rumor. I don't think there's any way to know if it's true or not, but usually when there's smoke, there's a little bit of fire. But apparently Alabama wants this kid. And folks close to the UofL football program are claiming that Alabama is tampering. And I don't know how they're doing it. I'm not sure if they've got a staffer for them talking to Tyler Harrell's high school coach out of, like, I don't know how it works, but what's out there is that Tyler Harrell, who is not in the portal, is just finished up the spring. He's just been made aware that if he wants to put his name in the portal, Alabama would like him. That is the rumor. I'm not reporting that as news, but that's what's out there. And it just got me thinking, like, if this happens, what can be done? Is it shady? Sure. But, like, if somebody just happened to share information with somebody that then shared it with Tyler Harrell's family, and then Tyler Harrell's family tells him, like, again, you know what you're doing, but are you actually breaking rules? Like, coaches have been complaining about the transfer rule mostly because of tampering, yet a lot of these coaches are probably doing tampering on their own. But I just think we need to prepare ourselves that these kind of things are going to happen now with the portal being what it is. And I have no clue what Tyler Harrell is going to do, but if he does end up in the portal and goes to Miami, it'll suck for Louisville. But, like, can you blame him? He's going to go to play for Alabama and Nick Saban. And I don't even know how. I mean, he's got an elite level speed, but again, he had 18 catches last year. So some would say, like, if Bama's having to tamper and get a player from Louisville who won 6 games last year, geez, what's Bama's situation? I kind of understand that notion, but at the same point in time, again, this guy has speed you just can't teach. So who knows? It's something to monitor. But it got me thinking, like, if I'm a player, if I'm in his shoes, why not just create this rumor, right? I'm not saying he's doing that, or that he would, or that he should, but just think about what you could do here. Like, let's say Matt Allen, you want to play tight end, Matt, you're the tight end for U of L. You're coming off a phenomenal season. You could go pro, but you got to wait another year because the draft, of course, you got to be in college for, what, 2 years at least before you can go pro, something like that, or 3 years, whatever it is. So you've got to stay in college, but you're a star. And, you know, you have no plans on leaving, but you say, hey, I'm going to let everybody know that I've been made aware through back channel communication that Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss wants me, and Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M wants me, and Dabo Swinney at Clemson wants me. So I'm just going to put it out there, and then everybody's going to be panicking. You know what might happen for you? An NIL deal that might make it to where, oh, I'm not entering the portal now because Joe Schmo at his business has given me $250,000 to stick around. Like, you could... players can manipulate the hell out of this if they want to.
Going to be the new face of Johnny's Locksmiths.
That's you?
Yeah.
I like it.
Which, you know, if I'm a D, well, I'm not. I guess that would be a better one for a defensive back.
Yeah, yeah. You're a tight
I lock
end.
Them up.
Yeah. You want to play tight end or you want to play quarterback instead?
I want to play cornerback. All right. I'm moving to cornerback, and I'm going to be the new face for Johnny Locksmith.
Johnny Locksmith, that's right. And that's how we're able to keep you in town and not let you slip away to Jimbo Fisher or something.
I lock up the opposing receivers.
There you go. Makes sense.
And so does does Johnny. He'll lock up your house.
That's why you partner with him.
Yeah.
Not because of the money, because it was just a natural fit.
Of course. Yeah.
So I'm not insinuating that Tyler Harrell is doing that at all. Let me be clear. But it got me thinking, he could if he wanted to, right? Star players just act like everybody wants you, and people will panic and freak out and get somebody to drop the NIL bag, and you're paid. Get your hustle on, kids. You've been deprived, and I say that mocking because these kids have been taken care of pretty well for the most part. But hey, now they got the ability to go get money. Get creative with it. Make people squirm because you now have the ability more so than ever to really show how valuable you are to these programs and the success that they have. All right, quick timeout. We'll come back on the other side. Hit the text line, 502-653-0790. That is the LNN Federal Credit Union text line. Hang out right here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
All right, so we've got two of the NBA play-in games tonight. Matt, you said it best yesterday that none of these teams have a chance to really do much of anything. I still think Brooklyn can, of course, go the furthest, but I'm not buying them yet as a real threat to win the East. Although I heard Colin Cowherd lay it out yesterday, and he actually made a good case as to why they could, but I still am not believing it yet. But do you have any preferential results tonight? Like, you don't care about any of these teams. None of these teams, I think, would you ever claim to be teams you care about in any way. But T-Wolves are favored by 3 against the Clippers. That one's in Minnesota, and then, of course, the first game is Brooklyn and Cleveland. That is in Brooklyn, and the Nets are favored by 8.5. I have a hard time thinking Brooklyn won't win, but I feel like Cleveland will compete. They've been Darius Garland is probably one of the best players in the NBA that a lot of people probably still don't even know who he is because, one, now he plays in Cleveland, was a really highly regarded player coming out of high school, went to Vandy, of all places, got hurt, didn't play much, but
It's hard for me to cheer for Kevin Durant. So, I mean, can't disagree. I don't really like the Cavaliers, but I would prefer to see the Cavs win this.
What about, are you pulling for Minnesota?
Over, who are they playing?
Clippers. Against?
The Clippers? Yeah, because the, in this kind of situation, who's uglier? And I like a little bit of what the Timberwolves is, particularly with their City Edition uniform. They've done with their City Edition uniform. I like that. It kind of looks like the old Timberwolves.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go Wolves.
Well, here's my parlay. If you guys want,
the Clippers are ugly.
If you guys want a tail on the FanDuel Sportsbook app, use promo code REDZONE if you've not signed up yet. And you do have to be in Indiana, but I'm going with Cleveland plus 8.5, and I'm taking Minnesota to cover minus 3. I actually think this is a huge game for them as a franchise, and I just feel like they're going to be ready. And I think they're better. I really do. Clippers have been playing better since Paul George came back, but I'm not trusting playoff P. Now, I got to know quickly, we're up against it, but the Cavs used to be good looking. No?
Well, it depends. They've had some good uniforms. I don't know that I would ever classify them as, like, amazing.
The blue and orange Cavs from
that's been
way
a while.
Back. I like that.
Yeah, that was a good look with the V as the net.
And then
that's probably my
Mark
favorite
Price
logo of theirs.
Mark Price Cavs. Yeah. I mean, now what about the one where they were in the 90s when, like, Derek Anderson played there, Brevin Knight, Sean Kemp made a brief stop there.
You have to
the
refresh.
Teal, black.
Teal and black?
Yeah, I'm sending this to you because I'm trying to find a good-looking one because the one I've got pulled up here is the black jersey. I mean, I think you're going to
tell me. Terrell Brandon, wasn't he on the team then?
I have a Terrell Brandon jersey.
Yeah, those are okay.
Better than what they're doing now. The maroon,
I don't know about that.
Oh, my God. Dude, the Cavs, I think, everybody's got their own preferences.
Yeah.
I think the Cavs currently are one of the ugliest teams in the NBA.
Well, no, I liked LeBron-era Cavs a little better because they had that one uniform with the stripes that on down the side. Those look pretty good. Yeah. They didn't wear them much, but...
Yeah, I just...
Those are a little generic looking. I can see how you could say the ones that they have now are a little generic looking, but I think you're right. I think the best logo they've had, in my opinion, is the V for the net.
Yeah, there's so many teams that I feel like used to look a lot better, and then they've just done a rebrand, and it's like the tradition, and they've tried to go back to it, but like the traditional Pistons, that worked.
Yeah, it did.
And then they just...
It really
remember
did.
Remember the early Grant Hill days? Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah, yikes. All right, we got one more hour to go. Stick around. You are in the Red Zone. We're fueled by Thorntons. I'm Nick Coffey. He's Matt Allen. Right here on 790 KRD.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons.
Introduce you guys to the new assistant coach with the Louisville Cardinals, Mr. Nolan Smith. You know, as I talked about in the press conference, the criteria that I was looking for, the whole time I knew it was him. Love of young people, high character, dedicated to the craft, helping kids reach their dreams. All of that is him. And the big plus is that he's a family member. I know that someone's looking down on us today, and Jerry Eves can attest to this. He's smiling, and that's his father, who taught me everything that I know. And to have him in this program, as I said earlier, his blood and spirit is back.
That was Kenny Payne yesterday officially announcing Nolan Smith as the first member of his staff as he has taken over at his alma mater, and quite a bit of connection here from the U of L side, family connection, that is, with not only Nolan Smith being the father of the late Derek Smith, who played at U of L and one day wanted, this is one of those things that I learned along the way in recent months as we've kind of got here, where Kenny Payne appeared like the obvious front runner for the job, got the job, and then hell, even before he got the job, there was already talk about Nolan Smith potentially joining Kenny Payne's staff here. And throughout that process, I learned that not only did Derek Smith get into coaching after playing, but he wanted to become the head coach here one day. And now here Nolan is as the associate head coach, which that is not what was announced yesterday, but thank you to whoever texted in earlier. That is what Nolan Smith is claiming he is, and I don't think he's lying. So on his bio on Instagram, he's the associate head coach at U of L, and we haven't seen a commitment happen yet. We haven't seen this team take the court. We don't even know what the team's going to look like. So it's still very early in the stages here. And yes, this is still the honeymoon phase. But I throughout the morning here, I've just mentioned how much I really underestimated what it would feel like and be like to see the internal connections here with Kenny being a former player. And of course, Nolan being the son of a former player. And I think a lot of folks like myself that are around my age, you know, I think we believed we had an understanding and I guess some base knowledge about U of L basketball, right? I wasn't alive in the 80s, but clearly I knew all about the 80s, and I know that era is really what made Louisville basketball what it is today. That and, of course, some of the 70s as well. But I didn't know. I mean, I assumed that Derek Smith and Kenny Payne had a relationship, but, you know, I didn't know just how close their relationship was, which, again, is why once, even before Derek passed away, you know, Kenny Payne was like a father or like an uncle, essentially, to Nolan Smith. But here's Kenny Payne talking about his relationship with the late Derek Smith.
Kenny, what was your relationship like with Derek?
Derek raised me. From the day I walked on this campus to the day I left, Derek Smith was a part of everything I've done. To prepare for the NBA, I trained with Derek with the 76ers, and they ended up drafting me. I can't begin to tell you what that man meant for me. He changed my life. And to be sitting here with his son with me, can't put it into words where you would understand. I can tell you there were nights when we were arguing and fighting, and he was making me see life in a different way. I can tell you about mentally having me focus on visualizing myself as a better player and me falling asleep and him hitting me in the back of my head. I can tell you about an hour on the Stairmaster, constantly working until you couldn't hardly walk, and him saying, dig more. I can tell you about watching NBA players and saying, you're going to replicate this player. So when I think about Derrick and what he did for me, I wouldn't be sitting here as the head coach if it wasn't for Derrick Smith.
That's some deep stuff. And, you know, we played some sound earlier, if you missed it, Nolan Smith discussing just how emotional it was for him and how it, and he didn't talk about this yesterday, but I read an article that had some quotes in regards to his when he was announcing his decision to go to college. I think Louisville always felt like they had a fighter's chance because of the connection. But any time Duke's believed to be the favorite, you feel like you're going to need some help. And Duke ended up landing Nolan Smith, and obviously he made the right decision. He won a national championship and has created a great life for himself in basketball due to that commitment to Duke. And now he's here, and we're grateful for that. But he just wasn't ready emotionally to sort of step into, I guess, to follow in his father's footsteps, just given that situation where he'd passed away at a young age. And now he's here, and he was asked what his dad would say to him if he was here today.
He'd say, "I'm proud of you." He'd say, "You're a chip off the old block." that was one of his sayings. So, I know he'd be extremely proud of me. It's crazy. My sister sent me an article that she had found about his path. He obviously was coaching with the Washington Bullets. He always said he wanted to eventually be a coach back here at Louisville. So to be sitting right here, I'm living my life through him like I've always tried to do. So it's very, very special. I'm so honored and proud to be here.
I'm at some deep stuff. I'm trying not to get too sentimental here because, again, you know, obviously these guys have a job to do. They got to win basketball games, and we don't even know what the roster is going to look like or anything like that. But, again, long story short, the connections here, the way in which the staff is being assembled and the history, it's just it's something I didn't anticipate really kind of hitting me in the feels the way that it has. And the obvious observation here is, well, hey, it's going to be even harder if it doesn't work out. And that's true, right? Because these are guys that this is more, I mean, it's all transactional to an extent, but clearly Kenny and Nolan, this place means a lot to them. There's no doubt about it. And we'll see. I mean, I'm trying my. This will probably become stale if it hasn't already. But I'm like not going to be the guy to try to hand out expectations yet. I refuse to do that. I don't think it's fair. And we don't know who's on the team. But the confidence those two guys, when they weren't talking about, of course, the connections and the history and how it all came together, when just talking about the task at hand, which is, you know, recruiting and getting Louisville basketball back to where it needs to be. And to be honest, they didn't talk a lot about that yesterday. But this, without question, is the most notable take, the most notable quote from Nolan, and really of the two. This one, this quote clip I'm going to play for you when Nolan Smith discusses his first weekend on the recruiting trail wearing Louisville gear. I mean, this has to make fans excited.
You mentioned how much it means to have that Cardinal bird on your chest. What was it like out working this weekend, you know, and talking to people on behalf of Louisville?
You know, I felt a lot of fear of opposing schools. I'm serious, and it felt great. It felt great. A lot of people, like Coach Payne said, like just saying congratulations, man, we're happy for you, and you and KP are going to kill it. But then just walking past kids, and you hear them go, that's Louisville.
I mean, we discussed it in the 8 o'clock hour. I don't really know when the last time that feeling was there on the recruiting trail for Louisville at, like, high-level events. And I'm not to say that it's been an insane amount of time. I genuinely don't know. But I think Louisville fans are excited about getting excited about recruiting again, which we used to do, and then we didn't realize how good we had it with Rick Pitino recruiting, because we always found ourselves comparing Louisville recruiting to Kentucky, and what they were doing is just impossible. So, again, I don't want to set expectations too high, but I will say just hearing those guys speak that confidently about the task at hand, which is getting high-level players, you know, they can't speak specifically about recruits, but they're just – they don't seem to have any doubt they're going to be able to go out there and get the caliber players that Louisville needs, and that's a huge part of this process when it comes to getting this thing turned around. All right, quickly, if you guys are just now joining us, we've been all over the place today. We did talk about Sean McNeil, who is the West Virginia transfer. He has cut his list to six, Louisville being one, along with Indiana, Virginia, Texas Tech, Cincinnati, and Ohio State. Really solid player, not a guy that you would bring in to be sort of one of your most, you know, important players, but a really nice piece. He comes in averaging double figures after two seasons at West Virginia, shot about 37%, was all Big 12 honorable mention, a kid from Kentucky. Interesting story, committed to play for Bellarmine, showed up at Bellarmine, and then left college after a week like some kids do, I guess kind of freaked out and didn't know if he was ready to be a college student and was doing nothing, I suppose, and then got an opportunity to play at a small junior college up in Dayton, Ohio. And he blew up, ended up getting some big offers, goes to West Virginia, had a nice career, and now he's a grad transfer with 1 year left. And I would love to see him end up here at U of L. And again, that's not to say that I think he's going to be some, you know, insane level player, but he's a really nice piece to add, especially when it comes to three-point shooting. And I know what you're thinking. Well, hey, we were told last year that Matt Cross and Jared West, those guys, Noah Locke, would come in and really improve the shooting department, and they didn't really do that. I mean, Noah Locke was a pretty good catch-and-shoot guy for the most part, but Matt Cross never really got it going. Jared West, unfortunately for him, just couldn't make shots here like he did at Marshall. So I know some are going to be hesitant to really believe it until they see it, but I've watched Sean McNeil play enough. And let's be real, Sean McNeil, in my opinion, is a higher caliber player that has proven more in a – I mean, the Big 12 is a really good league. He's been an all Big 12 caliber player, not the best, but certainly a guy that can hang and hold his own and more. So he's actually – and this is kind of a reminder. Like last year, we just convinced ourselves that Noah Locke and Jared West – and Matt Cross were going to be huge additions. And I guess that's just us being fans and accepting, you know. I mean, am I wrong? Just look at the two – look at the four players we're talking about. Noah Locke was a good player at Florida. And again, he had a decent year. He wasn't terrible. But he also at times just, you know, couldn't make shots. I think the frustration with Noah Locke was that the belief was that he was going to do more than just shoot. And he didn't do anything other than shoot. And at times he couldn't make shots. He got cold. But Sean McNeil is a – let me pull up his numbers here because I don't want to speak totally out of my rear end, but I've watched enough West Virginia basketball to where, like, after watching Matt Cross, Noah Locke, Jared West, and Sean McNeil, watching enough of them, I feel confident in saying that Sean McNeil is substantially a better player. But that's why I want Louisville to land it. But it's not because I think he's going to be sort of like your lead guard, but he's just a nice piece to add. And they need guard. There's no doubt about it, because right now you've got L. Ellis, who's your only real sort of lead guard. I mean, he's a point guard. Can play the two, but he's a point guard. Mike James is a big wing, can play guard, but I think you'll probably see him more as a three. And then you've got Sidney Curry, J.J. Trainer, and Jalen Withers. And the only other guy that is hopefully coming back that hasn't announced is Roosevelt Wheeler, another post player. So they need guards, and again, they'll need more than just Sean McNeil, but it'd be nice if they can land him. I think he's a good player, and I'd love to see him here at U of L. We also talked about Mike Pegues, how he has found a new opportunity, was going to be joining Patrick Ewing's staff, and no surprise, he had more than one offer. The other offer was to go join Thad Matta, who's taken over at Butler, and I wish nothing but the best for Coach Pegues. I think he will one day be a successful head coach. I know it didn't play out very well here for him, but I think he has a lot going for him, especially where college coaching is headed as far as what's going to be super valuable. I just think what hurt him was, one, he took over an already very toxic situation, and it is not easy to go from assistant coach to head coach. It is not at all. Ask David Padgett. It's just not a natural thing at all, and you can't fake it. You got to be yourself, because if you start to change who you are, then the players are going to sense that it's fake. But you also kind of have to change who you are as a, in a way, because you're now the head coach, not the assistant. So it's at times sort of an unwinnable situation for guys. So I know Mike Begese didn't win many games when he took over, but I'm happy to see him joining Thad Mata, and I still think he'll be a good head coach one day. We also talked about Tyler Harrell, the Louisville receiver, who last I checked has not entered the portal, is a guy that is still playing. Everybody expects him to be at UofL next year, but the rumor is that he has been made aware that if he wants to enter the portal, Alabama wants him. I don't know who made him aware of that. Again, this is a rumor, but it just got me thinking about how this is probably going to be the new norm. Hell, it's probably already happening, right? Like, there's probably guys, like, for example, and I'm not insinuating there was tampering going on, but Greedy Vance is a guy that entered the portal for Louisville that was a defensive back and quickly ended up picking Oklahoma State, right? So, or I'm sorry, Florida State. I don't know why I said Oklahoma State. Yeah, Greedy Vance, I mean, am I wrong? And again, I probably shouldn't even speculate because I don't know if Florida State even knew of Greedy Vance before he entered the portal. But the timing of that is just one that stands out to me of where, okay, that kid knew he could enter the portal and end up there. And I'm sure it's happening. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. I hope Louisville doesn't lose Tyler Harrell to Alabama because he's believed to be one of their better receivers. Had a good spring, has Olympic-type track speed, and he's still continuing to learn how to be a receiver. And he didn't even have to be that great of a receiver. If he can get open and catch the ball, he's gone. And that's why Alabama probably is interested in him. But as of now, I don't think he's entered the portal, and I hope he doesn't because he's a good player. But if it does happen, like, I'm not really – like, if that happens, I don't know what the reaction is going to be from the fan base. Like, are they going to be mad at Satterfield? Are they going to be mad at the kid? Like, I just think this is going to be inevitable. And speaking of that, I don't know if this is a super similar situation. However, you know, Louisville, they benefited from the portal just recently. They landed another defensive back. They landed the young man's name is Jarvis Brownlee. He transferred from Florida State. So these two essentially flopped defensive backs. But he started 15 games over the last two seasons, was a four-star recruit coming out of high school, had offers from Miami and Florida before picking Florida State. And this is now the third defense. We knew they needed to add defensive backs. He's now the third defensive back that has joined Louisville via the transfer portal that started at their previous school. They landed another defensive back from USC, and I believe the other one was from Ole Miss. So, again, that was an area of need. They've added some guys on the recruiting trail, and, of course, now they've added guys from the portal. So, everybody, like, for example, I'm trying to think of who it is. That's going to drive me crazy. The portal is going to absolutely hurt the smaller schools, but it's also going to help the smaller schools. Not all of them. It'll be a case-by-case situation, but they'll be – trying to think of there is a current basketball program that has landed transfers since the season ended that is a mid-major type program that is getting kids from the Power 5 level. And, like, they're looked – so everybody can eat from it, but, again, there's going to be a case-by-case – it's going to be a case-by-case situation where some schools feel as if they just got ravaged by it in one off season. Well, maybe the next season they land some players. Now, the real loser is the programs that – have guys at the really small level that, like, it's just a no-brainer. They're going to move on. And that sucks. But, again, as much as it may be unfair to those coaches and it's going to really hurt sort of how they build their program, they're getting momentum and then, boom, they lose players to the portal. Again, that sucks for them. But it doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do. Players should be able to go play wherever they want without sitting out. They're not employees on a non-compete contract. It makes things difficult. It makes coaches' jobs harder. I'm not going to act like it doesn't, but it doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do. Now, a couple of updates on the guys that have entered the portal leaving Louisville from the basketball side. It sounds like SMU is the favorite for Samuel Williamson. No surprise, he's from the Dallas area. I know TCU's involved as well, but I think SMU has been the leader here, and I wouldn't be shocked if they don't land him. And then Noah Locke, Gonzaga is in on him. I mean, he's a good spot-up shooter. I think he came here trying to be something he really isn't going to be. So Noah Locke may be the guy that moves on, and if he plays around really good, he didn't, I mean, again, keep in mind, Noah Locke didn't exactly play around a really good roster or a really good team. Noah Locke may be the guy that goes to Gonzaga, or, I mean, there's other high-level schools that want him. But, like, he could be the guy that ends up maybe averaging 15, 16 a game, shooting 40% from three again, and we think, man, we might have had something there with this guy. He was just a part of a really bad season. Now, Matt Cross, I've not heard anything about him at all. Don't know where he'll end up, but wish him the best. All right, quickly, before we get to the headlines, this tweet yesterday from what appears to be a made-up account. Like, nothing about it screams fake account, but, like, just, you know, it's an account that has 300 followers. The guy's name on Twitter is at Mark Fish Hoops, but his name is Mark Fiscarelli. If you were going to create a Twitter account of a guy who is a quote-unquote freelance basketball writer, Mark Fiscarelli is a really good made-up name. And there's all these random tweets about him, you know, having a scoop or predicting a commitment here or there. So, like, it's just good enough to where most people probably look at it and think, I guess I could see if this guy being real. Well, he sent out something yesterday that got Big Blue Nation all, you know, talking about it, including Matt Jones, who shared it and didn't seem to know that it was fake. And I'm not saying that to call Matt out, but him sharing it got Big Blue Nation. He's Big Blue Jesus, right? So it got everybody all talking about it. But the tweet said, non-player movement news. Per an SEC source, I'm told there's a meeting scheduled later today between John Calipari and Kentucky Athletic Director Mitch Barnhart regarding the head coach's future and expectations moving forward. So Matt shared it and also added that this conversation has been needed to happen for a while, and I don't really know what the riff is between the two, but it's always been believed that the two aren't the best of friends, and that's putting it mildly. But just hearing that, it did kind of remind me, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but like Kentucky fans are in an odd spot with John Calipari. They know he's not going anywhere. They probably deep down don't want him to go anywhere, but they're so bummed by the last 2 years. And now they just hope the guy makes some adjustments and changes the style of play, changes the way he talks down to his fan base. But like he's also one of the most stubborn guys maybe on the planet. So like it's not it doesn't seem as if that's something that's going to happen. But this I'll put it this way. Now that a few weeks have passed since they lost to St. Peter's, I thought the fan base would have already bought back in. But I do think next season they're going to probably have a good regular season because they typically do. And you will still hear a lot of their fans say, sorry, I'm not buying. I got to see him do. He's got to make a deep run of the tournament because I'm not letting it. I'm not just going to forget about that loss to a 15 seed that came after he won 9 games in an entire season. So, yeah, but the Fiscarelli, again, he claimed that again, it looks just real enough, but you could probably give it a deep dive and realize it's probably fake. But he claims to be a member of the U.S. Basketball Writers Association. And Matt, I did some investigative work. What do I have here? I've got a U.S. Basketball Writers Association handbook.
A USBWA handbook?
That's right. It's wow. Right here. You see it. I'm not lying.
Are you allowed to hold one of those?
It's the directory. It's been serving the USBWA members since 1956.
Are you a member?
No, I'm not.
How do you have that in there? You're not allowed to have that if you're not a member.
It was at Jody Demling's old desk. He was a member.
So you stole from Jody Demling the secret paperwork.
It was left at the desk that I inherited.
You stole it.
But I looked. This guy is not a member. I'm now reporting Mark Fiscarelli is not a real human. He's fake because
you have this first?
I think I'm first. I've got breaking news. Mark Fiscarelli on Twitter, at Mark Fisk Hoops, is not real because I've got the directory here. He's not in it, and he claims on his profile that he is a member. And I'm telling you,
when?
It's fake. This is 2021. Sorry.
Oh, so it's last year's. So unless he's a brand new member,
exactly. Show me your membership, Fiscarelli.
So unless he's a brand new member, he's lying or not a real person.
Also,
does he have the check?
No, he's only got 300 followers.
Yes, this looks shady.
And I'm telling you, Matt sharing that tweet made everybody think it was real. Because it looks pretty fake.
Don't you love the internet and how stuff's just not true?
Fake news, man. It's rampant. Is it not? Is that the right word?
Yeah, I guess.
All right, headlines are next. No fake news there.
That's all fake.
I can promise
you. No real headlines coming up next. These are all fake stories.
You're in the red.
Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thornton's. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union text line at 502-653-0790.
All right, let's challenge ourselves here, Matt. Let's see. I've given you very little time today because I just get to rambling. So yeah. Let's get to it. Let's rapid fire these Fast Five headlines.
It's time for the Fast Five headlines with the marvelous Matt Allen.
Number one.
What if I don't want to rapid fire them? What if I want to just take my time and do like three?
That's fine. Okay. It's your call. It's your world, baby.
All right. From the best night in the history of the program department. The Atlanta Dream made Kentucky's Ryan Howard the first overall pick in the 2022 WNBA draft Monday night. So eat that, everybody else. But it was a big night for both programs. Number four to the Indiana Fever, Nick's favorite WNBA team.
That's right.
Emily Inksler from Louisville was the number four overall pick in the draft. And another Louisville player. Also drafted in the second round, which it feels weird to say the second round is the 16th overall pick.
Exactly.
But Gianna Smith goes 16th to the Los Angeles Sparks in the second round of the draft as well. So big night for Louisville and Kentucky in the WNBA draft.
No doubt about it. And both Kiana and Emily joined the long list of former Louisville players that have heard their name called in the WNBA draft. And I won't pretend to watch the WNBA or really follow women's college basketball as closely as maybe some others do, but I really love Kiana Smith's game. Again, probably sound like I'm talking out of my rear end here, but I was surprised that she wasn't drafted a little earlier, and I think she'll have a great career. Emily as well. Emily, of course, is known as a defensive specialist, and sounds like that's literally, not to say she can't do other things, but clearly the Indy Fever, they knew what they were getting with her. So, again, always, anytime Jeff Walls has got that kind of presence on draft night, can only lead to you bringing in more talent here to U of L. Number two.
I think it sounded like you were talking out of your normal end there.
Okay, good.
Just wanted
to let
you know.
The goal.
Yep.
Normal end, not the rear one.
Right. From the... I didn't say they were different.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I just said your normal end.
Gotcha.
I didn't specify which was normal. From the old-ass Lakers department, all the Lakers are talking now. Frank Vogel got fired. He said he wasn't even told before he was fired. Russell Westbrook had a 21-minute interview yesterday, I think, was talking about all his time there. But
took some parting shots.
But I chose to go here because if this state knows anything when it thinks of basketball, this state is really familiar with individuals. Leaders saying things that everyone hearing the statements knows that's not true. If this state knows anything, it is used to hearing basketball figures, I won't name names, saying things that you know that, do you honestly believe us to expect us to believe that? Come on. Come on now. So with that in mind, let's hear what
LeBron James
had to say at the end of the Lakers season yesterday about your old-ass Lakers.
One thing about Russ that I love and will always love is, just his competitive spirit, what he brings to the game every single night. And you're in a profession where so many injuries happen and so many things go on. And to have a guy that's reliable and put on a uniform every single night, that's something I respect, out of everything. I'm not going to sit here and make decisions for the front office and things of that nature, but I love being a teammate with Russ, and, that's just the way it is.
I'm not going to sit here and make decisions for the front office. That is saying he's not going to sit here and make decisions for the front office.
Isn't it just another example, though, of LeBron's situation to where he doesn't have the ability to truly know how he comes off? Does that make sense? He doesn't understand how ridiculous he's... it's one of those, come on, LeBron. As somebody who's wanted to really like LeBron more than I do, I respect his greatness. I think it's going to be a travesty when he's no longer around. Not to say the NBA is going to not exist, but he's a legend. He moves the needle. Like him or hate him, he's good for the NBA. And it's really not – I mean, again, I'm going to watch the NBA playoffs. I'm going to enjoy it. But it's not good for the NBA when he's not involved.
No, that's true.
And so with that, I want to like LeBron a lot more than I do. But oftentimes, these are scenarios that play themselves out where I have to say, come on, LeBron.
Russell Westbrook said yesterday about LeBron James and Anthony Davis a lot of times saying, let Russ be Russ, about how that wasn't really true. But do you think – I'll pick another comment out of what we just heard LeBron say. To have a guy that's reliable – and can put on a uniform every single night, that's something I respect out of everything. Is that – are you taking a shot at AD there?
Maybe.
I mean
– street clothes?
I mean, I guess it wouldn't be – it wouldn't be a gigantic – I mean, AD didn't play a lot this year, but of course neither did LeBron. He only played 56 games.
Yeah, it's a mess. And who wants the job? Right? Like who
– I don't know. I wouldn't take it.
Who would want it? Like,
because they're talking Quinn Snyder.
Who would want to coach LeBron?
And Nick Nurse, I would not leave the Jazz, and well, unless Donovan left, maybe. I wouldn't leave the Jazz, and I wouldn't leave the Raptors for that mess. Are you kidding me?
If you've got an ego like all of us do, Nick Nurse and Quinn Snyder are believed to be like a huge asset and reason why their teams are successful. In most places, that's not the case. Like, I think those guys are in great spots as NBA coaches.
Yeah, I wouldn't leave either of those situations.
As much as LeBron is an
all-timer,
like, coaching LeBron would not be fun at all.
Especially at 38? Yeah. Is he going to be 38 next
year?
And
you know you don't have the control. He does.
No, Nick. LeBron just said he's not going to sit here and make decisions for the front office.
Yeah. All right, sure. Number three.
From the Good Start Department, this is fun. This is just fun. Stephen Kwan. I know what you're saying. What? Is he related to Michelle Kwan? Is that why we're talking about him? No. Stephen Kwan found himself in the brightest of spotlights over the past weekend. Wonder why. It's his first big league season, and he made a little more history with the Cleveland Guardians. That's right, the Cleveland Guardians went over the Royals 10-7 yesterday. In his first four games, Stephen Kwan of your Cleveland Guardians has had six singles, two doubles, a triple, and five walks, meaning Kwan has reached base 15 times in his first four Major League Baseball games. That's the most any player has logged in their first four career games since 1901. That's 121 years.
It's impressive.
It is impressive. He's 24. It's his first big league series. He actually he's so excited. This is funny to hear stories like this. Getting on base means so much to him. It's been a part of his philosophy for so long. You remember how coaches will make guys who fumble carry a football with him.
Yeah.
Stephen Kwan carries a baseball base around with him, and he actually got it a seat on the plane. he strapped the base into a seatbelt on the plane. Through his 19 plate appearances, of which he's gotten on base 15 times, Kwan has swung 26 times and has not missed. Hasn't swung and missed yet in the major leagues. He's one of just three qualified batters remaining in the majors who have yet to whiff at a pitch. He hasn't struck out since September 26th, 2021. In AAA, and that includes all of spring training. This year, he didn't strike out all of spring training.
How long?
Not one time.
How sustainable is this?
Not.
Yeah.
Not, but it's just an amazing start for a young guy. First four games in the major leagues. It's pretty cool.
It's cool, but doesn't it kind of suck for this guy, though? Because, like, he's going to have a high – I mean, clearly, the streak's going to come to an end at any moment. But, like, will he be a good player?
That's what we're going to find out. But
like,
it's interesting to see a start like this.
What if he never ends up really getting on?
That could totally happen.
Yeah, and it just – I don't know. You start so high, you can only go down. That's kind of where what I'm getting at. Number four.
Four walls to hear me.
From the Let's Talk to Nick department about gambling. Nick? What do you think about this? This is a guy after your own heart right here. You ready?
Sure.
MLB season less than a week old. One bettor was trying to figure out what to bet. Okay.
It's part of the process.
Kind of like you. College football is over, trying to figure out what to bet. He went to BetMGM. he decided, now this is almost in your price range, but he decided to bet almost the entire full slate of Major League Baseball on Saturday. And he decided to have a little fun with it.
Okay.
There's 15 games in Major League Baseball on Sunday. He decided, you know what? I think it's going to be a low-scoring day. So what did he do? He bet 14 unders. A 14-game parlay, and nothing but 14 unders. No score, no money line, nothing like that.
He just bet
14 unders, and he put $50,000 on the line.
Okay, I do hate that. I mean, I hate that he's that rich and I'm poor. But
and
yeah.
Guess what happened?
What happened?
He hit them all.
Goodness gracious.
$265,000 payout. He bet 14 unders in Major League Baseball. Only two of them, actually. He need the half run. There were two games, I believe. Baltimore and Tampa Bay was 8.5. He bet the under. It was 5-3. Pittsburgh and St. Louis was 8.5, and St. Louis won 6-2. So only two of those games did he need the half run. The others were well in his favor. But that's amazing that all 14 unders hit on a day in Major League Baseball. Even more impressive, the only game that he didn't bet was the Brewers Cubs. It was the only over of the day. He laid off the only over of the day.
And I thought I got lucky during March Madness. This guy, I mean.
How do you like that, Nick?
That's, I do. That's it's pretty it's good. Never fun, but I always sometimes. Leaning unders have worked for me. I'll put it that way. Not like this guy, but I mean, nobody wants to bet on the under because you're rooting for a boring game in every aspect, no matter what sports you're watching, but it pays off more than I think people realize. Number five. I got five.
Don't have time.
I figured that was the case.
It's good. It's great. I'll save it, though, because it's a good one.
Good.
You're in the Red Zone with Nick Coffey on 790 KRD. Fueled by Thorntons. Share your thoughts on the LNN Federal Credit Union tax line at 502-653-0790.
Matt, have you seen that... The Kmart store chain is becoming extinct?
Isn't it already?
There's three left in America.
Wow, that's good for the. I didn't realize there were
one
three.
One in Florida, one in Jersey, one in New York.
Okay.
And it makes me sad. But yeah, RIP to Kmart. I used to feel like Kmart and Target were like the same thing, and then Target became like the bougie, high-dollar place. And then Kmart, I feel like every Kmart I went into, or every Kmart parking lot I ever went to, had a pothole that would brewing your car. So RIP to Kmart. We're out of time. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. Pour one out for Kmart and come back and join us tomorrow morning right here on 790 KRD.